Hello, my name is Linda Tupin. I'm a Mary Kay Independent National Sales Director. God only gave us 168 hours. That's about 10,000 minutes this week to spend any way that we wanted. And I want to thank you for choosing to spend a few of your precious minutes with me. Chances are you're listening to this recording, you're probably doing something else at the same time. You know, if we didn't multitask, we just wouldn't get it all done. You might be running the kids, folding laundry, exercising, or preparing dinner. Well, you see, the person who gave you this recording gets to choose who they do their business life with. They say that recruiting is the highest form of flattery. You know that if you've got a son or daughter playing sports, you've probably been praying that a major college comes recruiting soon. The president recruits their cabinet, CEOs recruit, and headhunters recruit every day across America to find the very best talent. Well, chances are you probably work with some people that you wouldn't really choose to do your life with because somebody else chose them for you. Well, the independent beauty consultant who asked you to listen to this recording believes that you've got gifts and talents that you bring to the table. And in exchange, they believe that they have something to offer you. It is my prayer before I begin a recording that the words I speak will bless the person listening, cause them to think a new thought, or maybe even change their life. You see, we are where we are in our life by the choices that we've made or we've allowed others to make for us. You see, our thoughts eventually become our actions, and our actions become our habits, and our habits eventually determine our destiny. People ask me all the time, how do you remain so optimistic and hopeful and happy? Well, I think there's a number of reasons, but the most deep-rooted source is my faith. I was raised in a very strong, conservative Christian home with wonderful parents and a strong, undying faith and belief in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I just can't believe for a second that all this life that we live is an accident. And I don't believe that my purpose is just to survive till Friday and pay the bills and struggle and shuffle through life. I believe, as my Bible tells me, that He knew me before I was born. Therefore, I must have a purpose. In my own simplistic way, I like to think of our lives as this big old puzzle. When we were born, God just took this big old box of puzzle pieces and He dumped it out on our coffee table and He said, "Put it together." Now, if you've ever put a puzzle together with your kids, you know that you start by turning the pieces over, and sometimes they're the wrong color or they're the wrong size. They just don't look right. And you're thinking, this picture is never going to come together. But somewhere, somehow, magically toward the very end of that puzzle, every piece has a perfect place and a perfect purpose. And that is how I choose to look at my own life. And sometimes I have to accept some of the dark pieces that are simply not to my understanding. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing me today to be a piece of your puzzle. I'd like to share with you a little bit of my journey in becoming an independent national sales director. Well, first of all, I was raised in southeastern Kentucky on a dairy farm. My mom and dad were high school sweethearts, and I have three younger brothers who would remind you a great deal of Larry the Cable Guy. So needless to say, Christmas at our house is never dull, and they are each very successful businessmen in their own right. We grew up milking Holsteins. Now, for those of you who are bovine challenged, those would be the black and white ones out there in the field. When I became an independent beauty consultant, I brought two gifts to the table. One was my 4-H experience, and one was my strong work ethic. You see, I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. You may have grown up in an entrepreneurial family, or you may have grown up in a traditional family. An entrepreneurial family looks different than a traditional one. A traditional family, mom and dad probably get up at a certain time, go to work at a certain time, come home at a certain time, and have dinner at a certain time, and then go to bed at a certain time. Pretty much has a routine or flow to it. In an entrepreneurial family, we started working when we got up, and we worked till we went to bed. Everybody in the family had a purpose and a passion that was connected to our family-owned business. It truly was a lifestyle all its own. So our life looked different than our neighbors. And if you're going to own your own business and have an entrepreneurial lifestyle, there may be an additional learning curve if you've grown up in a traditional family. Now, what did that really look like? Well, let me just give you an example. First of all, our family never stopped their lives to have a crisis. In fact, I didn't even know that people did that until I went away to college. You see, I had grown up seeing my family work through all the crises in their lives. I remember when my grandmother passed away. We got up that morning, we went to work, we milked the cows. We came home, took a shower, put on our church clothes, we went to the funeral, we buried my grandmother, we came back home, we put our work clothes back on, and we went back to the barn. And somewhere through all of that, we solved our problems and we remained emotionally healthy by working through them. Another thing was that my mother or father never looked at their watches. They never said, hey, we've worked 8 hours. We need to stop working. We did not measure our life by the number of hours that we worked. Another concept, since we're talking about family, is that you probably ought to discuss this, is this whole concept of quality time with our children. You see, that terminology really did not enter our society until we moved away from an agricultural society. I can't imagine having grown up in the family I did, where your life revolves around the family business, ever saying to my father, Daddy, I need quality time with you. He would have just looked at me and said, why don't you get on that tractor over there and I'll get on the other one and I'll rake the hay and you bale the hay and when we're done, we'll talk about how that went. Or me saying to my mom, hey, Mom, I need some quality time with you. She probably would have said, hey, why don't you just go out the garden and pick the green beans? And then when you pick the green beans, we'll break the green beans while we talk about whatever it is you need to be talking about. And we'll work while we're talking. It is only when we moved into a more industrial society and parents actually started working away from their children that parents saw a need for quality time. So when you think about owning your own business and becoming an entrepreneur, you're allowing your children to watch you work. Then they work alongside you and in the process learn incredible, valuable life lessons. When I was 16, I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I sure knew what I didn't want to do. I grew up in a very heavy welfare county. I knew I didn't want to be on welfare and I didn't want to be waiting on some government check each month. I didn't want to have a yard full of kids or live in a single wide trailer up a holler. I decided right then that I would go to college, and I attended Eastern Kentucky University, where I majored in home economics education and became a home economics instructor. Eastern Kentucky University is a first-generation college, which means that a high percentage of the students that attend that college actually are the first person in their family to ever receive a college education. Are you going to be the first person in your family to break a barrier? Because when you do, you can break the barrier for all the generations after you. They say that when a woman stops the cycle of abuse in her family, then she breaks that cycle for her daughters and all generations to follow. Are you going to be the first person in your family to receive a college degree or an advanced degree? Are you going to be the first person in your family to make $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year? Live debt-free, or to own your own business. Because see, when you do that, you give permission to future generations, people that aren't even born yet. You see, your life matters, and it matters in a huge way. It was at Eastern Kentucky University where I met my ex-husband. Now, I really don't know what was up with that. You know, it's like one of those little bleeps on the screen of our life, and you're thinking, what was I thinking? I used to wonder why he was part of my puzzle. But you see, if I hadn't married him, I would not have moved to Southern Indiana. And if I hadn't moved to Southern Indiana, I would not have been teaching at New Washington High School when I made a phone call to find a speaker for my ninth grade students on skincare. I would not have called independent sales director Lucinda Utley, who was listed under cosmetics in the yellow pages, and she would have never come to the classroom. And as a result, I would have never started my Mary Kay business, and you wouldn't be listening to this recording today. You would be doing something different with your life at this very moment. You would have different thoughts, and there would be no reaction to the thoughts that are being spoken. You see, every word we speak, every action we take, changes another person's life. It's part of the puzzle. We all have turning points. A turning point is a day in which you think a different thought, you take action on your brand new thought, and as a result of your brand new thought, you change your life forever. There were two turning points that created that opportunity for me to come into Mary Kay. The first one happened on a Friday. You see, when you have a turning point, you're going to remember everything about that day. You'll remember what you're wearing, who you're with, and where you're sitting. It was Friday. I had been in the classroom for about 4 years. I had a master's degree in secondary education, and I was at the top of my pay scale. And so at 3:15 that day, I received a paycheck. I came home and I sat down at my kitchen table to pay my bills. Have you ever sat with your bills? It's kind of like a ritual, you know, you want to light candles and have a little seance over them and try to figure out how to get that much money to pay that many bills. So there I was, sitting with my bills. By 4 p.m., I was completely out of money, and I was waiting on another check that would not come for 2 more weeks. Do you know what this feels like? Many of you may, and a cold chill went down my back that day, and I realized that what I had not wanted to happen when I was 16 had happened. No, I didn't have a yard full of kids, nor was I on welfare, but I was waiting on a check, and the check was actually coming from the U.S. government. And when I looked around, I was living in a single wide trailer with a wood-burning stove. But on that Friday, I realized that if I did not do something different, nothing was going to change. You know that saying that nothing changes till something changes? Or perhaps the saying, I will remain the same until the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change. I didn't know what I was going to do about all this, but I knew what I wasn't going to do. I refused to stay at status quo. That moment was a turning point in my life. I didn't really know about the Mary Kay opportunity at that moment, so I moved to a larger town and began waiting tables at night, continuing to teach school during the day and sponsoring every club I could at school because I just refused to live paycheck to paycheck. You see, people get old when they stop dreaming. Because dreams cost money, and I did not want to get old. The second turning point happened when I was actually teaching a good grooming unit with my 9th grade students. Now, I didn't really feel like I had enough expertise in the field of skincare to do an adequate job, so I opened the phone book. I found the word cosmetics in the yellow pages. Then I found the word Mary Kay. Now, I had a lot of preconceived opinions about Mary Kay. I knew that its trademark color was pink, but I thought it was for uneducated women who just sold lipsticks door to door. You see, that's a prejudice, a preconceived opinion when you really don't know what you're talking about, yet you've made up your mind about it. And again, I remember everything about that day. It was the early 80s, and I had big hair. Now, if you weren't born in the early 80s, I probably don't need to know your name right now. Just kidding. You just need to trust me. We all had big hair in the early 80s. And I remember the color of my blouse and my white bell bottoms and everything that I was wearing the day that Lucinda Utley walked into my classroom. Now, I don't remember too much about what she spoke to my students about, but I remember exactly what she said to me. She said, "Have you ever thought about doing something like Mary Kay?" And I remember thinking, lady, I think you missed something here. I asked you to come into my classroom because I don't know enough about the subject to do an adequate job of teaching it to 9th graders, so I'm quite confident I could not teach adults. She simply smiled because she knew I didn't have enough information to make a more intelligent decision. So she handed me Mary Kay's autobiography, and if you haven't had a chance to read it, I encourage you to ask your independent beauty consultant to share her copy with you. You see, I didn't become an independent beauty consultant to make a bunch of money, earn the use of a bunch of cars, or change anybody's life. I did it because I loved the woman Mary Kay that I read about in the book. I wanted to think the way she thought. After reading the book, I agreed to attend my very first success meeting. Now, Lucinda prepared me for the meeting. She said that others would be dressed professionally. Well, I didn't really know what she meant. I just knew what it meant in my world. So I wore my best blue jeans and my brand new tennis shoes. And then I wet my hair the night right before I left because I wanted to make sure it was really big. I walked into a meeting of women who were far too happy. They smiled way too much. They went woo-woo and clapped a lot. And they all had on the same uniform and seemed to be excited about wearing the same clothes. Well, it didn't really take me the full 2 hours to figure out that they had something I didn't have. It was something, though, I wanted, and it was something that I missed. I had experienced it as a 4-H'er. It was my need to compete. It was my need to be recognized. It was my need for applause. It was my need to perform. And it was my need to be recognized for that performance. Now, if you're not familiar with 4-H, it's a lot like Girl Scouts. You do a lot of service-based projects, you set goals, you work through those goals, and you receive recognition for them, and in the process, you learn valuable life skills. During that meeting, I saw two things that I recognized. They were winning pens, and it reminded me of my 4-H pens that were upstairs in my closet. Those pens, I'm sure, didn't cost someone even a dollar a piece, but they had taught me valuable, valuable life skills like public speaking and leadership and goal setting. Those were the skills that I brought to the table and owned at the time. Then they started passing out ribbons and awards. Now, I didn't know much about makeup or skincare, but I knew how to win a ribbon. I knew how to show my cows at the county fair, and I knew how to take grand champion. At the end of the meeting, I'm sure Lucinda had read my body language. And all she did was say, "Did you have a good time?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, yes, this was great." And this is how I made the decision that night to become a Mary Kay Beauty Consultant. She handed me an independent beauty consultant agreement and slid it toward me and said, "Great. Fill this out. It'll be $85. And then she turned her back and walked away. And you know what? I read it, filled it out, and gave her a check for $85. Now, did I have $85? No, but I wrote her a check for $85 because I'm a problem-solving kind of girl. This is the very first trait that I look for in a person. Are they a problem solver? My good friend, National Sales Director Glenda McGuire, taught me when people tell you who they be, believe them. So if somebody tells me they ain't got no money and they don't know where they're going to find any money and they don't have any friends who have any money, well, then guess what? They're telling me who they are. I need to believe them. However, I believe you're a problem solver. And if you want something badly enough, you'll find the money to get whatever you want. And if you can't, and you're not, then we probably don't need to own our own business, because this is just going to be the first of a series of problems that you're going to need to solve in order to be successful. Today, that Mary Kay Starter Kit is $100 instead of $85, which I think is pretty amazing, considering the amount of time that's passed. The truth of the matter be, if you're out shopping today, you're going to probably stop at a local superstore or grocery, and you're going to get a cart. You know, just getting the cart guarantees you'll spend $100. And by tomorrow, you'll have put those items in a drawer and forgot all about them. So the question of the hour is not, do you have $100? It's, can you find $100? And do you want to find $100 badly enough? Well, you don't have a story until something goes wrong. Mary Kay always said that people at the top have the bloodiest knees. What does that mean? It just means they fell down more than anybody else. George Soros, one of the richest men in the world, he said he delighted in finding his mistakes. Well, my career has been littered with failure after failure. I remember my very first skincare class. I had been a great student, rehearsed the words, practiced them in front of a mirror with my flip chart, set my table, and made sure my mirrors were shining. I'd cleaned all 350 square feet of my little house and baked brownies for my guest. Well, it was about 15 minutes prior to the start of the class, and I thought it was a little odd that no one had called and that no one was there yet, and by 2:30, I realized they weren't late. They weren't coming. So I did what anybody would have done in that situation. I just cried, and then I ate all the brownies because, you know, you can always justify chocolate. Well, in the middle of eating one of those brownies, I realized that if I gave up that day, then those five people, who I loved dearly, would then be in control of my destiny. Even though I loved them, I wasn't going to let them control my destiny, and neither should you. My advice is, don't look to other people for their approval, and do not allow other people's poor manners or upbringing or lack of attention to detail to stop you from becoming successful and following your God-given dreams. You see, doctors look at our medical history. They want to know about our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, their illnesses, and the cause of their death. And they do that for a reason. They do it to predict our medical future. All my life, I have heard people say that they can predict some people's futures by looking into the break room at the place where they're employed and at the people who have been there 10, maybe 20 years longer than them. And when you look at them, you are looking at your future. It is my opinion that we become like the five people with whom we spend the most time. Now, these issues that I'm talking about, as my friend National Sales Director Rena Tarbett says, are not heaven and hell issues. These aren't the kind of issues that keep you out of heaven. but they sure do control the quality of life that you have here on earth and your ability to pursue your dreams and to live your life to the fullest. Now, let's talk about some of the concerns you may have in beginning your own business, being an entrepreneur, and some of the skills that you may want to develop. The number one concern I hear more than anything else is lack of time. So I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things. I'm going to ask you to think some new thoughts with me. People often say, "What is your secret to success?" And I would say, it's the way I think. I think it's the way any successful person thinks that makes them different. For instance, when we think about time, we have to stop and we have to look at our life as a stranger would look at our life. A stranger would say, "Hey, you've got 168 hours every week. You sleep 8 hours a night, that's 56. You work 40. When you subtract all that from 168, you've got 72 hours left. That's almost two complete work weeks. So what's happening with those 72 unstructured hours? You see, the reason we get more done at our day job sometimes than we do at home or working for ourselves is because someone else disciplines us. We don't like it, but it works. They tell us what time to be there, what they expect us to do, what time to take a break, what time to take lunch, what time to go home. And we're measured, obviously, against what we get done in that time period. So we work to perform. So one of the first skills you will want to learn is time management. Now, Albert Einstein says that time management is an oxymoron. Nobody can manage time. Time's going to march on with or without you. But certainly we can control what we put inside that time. So you may want to use some tools such as Mary Kay's 6 Most Important Things to Do List or the Mary Kay Weekly Plan Sheet, just to name a couple. I think you would find it interesting that I run a business. My national area produced $12.4 million in retail production in 2007, and I run that business from a laptop, a cell phone, and a spiral notebook. I feel like I've mastered in my 20-plus years of business prioritization and delegation. I remember at my new consultant education class, Lucinda talked to me about cleaning my own house. I thought it was a very strange subject to talk about my very first week in business, but I realize now it was the most important lesson she taught me that day because up until that point, as a working adult, I had not owned my own business. I had worked for someone else. You see, I was going to get paid the same amount of money as the teacher who didn't care or the one who didn't take the work home. I didn't think about how every hour of my life was going to be worth so many dollars. Well, when you own your own business, every hour is worth money. And that's especially true if you're doing income-producing activities. So when she asked me if I cleaned my own home and I said yes, she said, just be aware that from that day forward, that was now going to cost my family money when I did that. Then she began to illustrate by sharing with me the concept of the skincare class. How the product would be sold, customers established, and residual income could be produced because I was selling a product that people obviously washed down the drain and needed to reorder. And if I shared the opportunity with others, educated and inspired them to do the same, I'd receive commissions as long as that person was active and I was active. That day, I began to see and I began to think about my time totally and completely different. So since 1982, I'd just like to tell you I haven't cleaned my own house because honestly, I'd feel so much guilt about taking that much money away from my family. So you see, that's what I mean. I think differently and you will want to think differently about your time as well. I believe it is impossible to do a weekly plan sheet without understanding your values. So you may want to ask yourself some questions. Are your family values truly your family values? Or are they just something somebody told you once that was important, but you've never really stopped to question whether they belong to you or not? You see, when you're an entrepreneur, you will be a work-a-business-from-home mom. You will not be a stay-at-home mom. A stay-at-home mom is a mother who's decided, based on her value system, that she will not work outside the home. Her primary purpose is to care for the home, the family, and the children, but not provide income. A work-a-business-from-home mom is not the same as a stay-at-home mom. This is a mom whose values say that she wants a career but needs one to be more flexible and that will give her more time at home. And she still will make money. A work-a-business-from-home mom will have structure, delegation, house help, and childcare, similar to a mom who works outside the home, yet more flexibility. Now keep in mind your thoughts about time will be framed by your career experiences so far and how you were raised, whether you were raised in that traditional family or entrepreneurial family. Owning your own business will make you an entrepreneur. Your lifestyle will look and feel different than perhaps people around you who have more traditional lives. Now, some people have a concern about money in beginning their own business, either money management after their business has started or getting the funds to start their business. Let's talk from a broader perspective first. Let's see how cosmetics fit into the overall economy. When the economy is good, sales are high. However, when the economy is in a downward spiral or the economy has slowed, you'll be surprised to learn that I actually end up with a lot more skincare classes because hostesses have an opportunity to win their product or receive a discount. So in the end, I actually end up selling more. So the good news is that in a good economy, I sell. And then the good news again is in a slow or down economy, I still sell. There's really no bad news there. You may have heard that in the Great Depression, there were industries that maybe did better than others, mainly alcohol, tobacco, movie, theaters, and cosmetics. The reason being, these were industries that produce a product that make people feel better, and in some ways are almost recession-proof. Every minute of every day, baby girls are being born, and every minute of every day, women age. So that in itself creates an inexhaustible supply of potential clients. Once you've purchased your starter kit, you may want to make the decision to stock inventory so that you have it on hand for your customers to purchase. That will be an option that you will discuss personally with your independent sales director. What I've found is that what most people do is that they start their business with a 0% interest credit card or line of credit for the first few months. They develop an action plan of product sales to pay that off, and then they run their business from a debit card. I personally found it comforting to know that the company offers to repurchase 90% of the products that I haven't sold in the last 12 months should I decide to terminate my consultant agreement. Now let's talk about your man. When it comes to your man's support, I really don't think Aretha had it right. I don't think respect is spelled R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I think it's spelled M-O-N-E-Y. I have found that if you want your man's support, you need to show him the money. When you say, I've started my own business, he heard you say, you're going to make a profit. That's the purpose of business. It's very important that you're committed to developing clients, having facials and skincare classes, and selling the product through some structured venues. If you choose not to do those things, many times you may end up with a hobby. Now, hobbies are different than business. Hobbies cost money. So if your family hears you say that you have a hobby, then they know it's going to take time and money, and they're okay with that because it brings you fulfillment and satisfaction. If you're married or have a boyfriend, you know, they probably have a hobby. My husband golfs, and occasionally he'll win the Friday night golf scramble at our little local golf course, and he makes enough money to take me out to dinner. But his hobby has never paid for itself, and so if you don't actually work your business, it can become a hobby. So let's just use the right verbiage with our family so that they know what the deal is. And the deal is, we're starting a business to make a profit. Some people ask, who will I sell to? How do I develop my clients? First and foremost, I suggest that you attend all the education that's offered. I have personally found that this is a skills-based business, so your success is not based on how cute you are or who your daddy is. If I came to work with you tomorrow, I would not know how to do what you do, but I could learn, and so can you. I have personally found in building my own customer base that it really only takes one person to get started. Once you spend time with that one person and develop a relationship, show and educate her on how to use the product, then she'll trust you. Now, once the trust is earned, then she will pay you the ultimate compliment by introducing you to her mom, sister, best friend, or the girls she works with because she saw value in what you did. Plus, you know what? She just likes you. You see, the best advertisement in the world is not television, telegraph, or telephone. It's telewoman. I can track back all 4,000 consultants in my national area to just a few appointments. For example, I did a facial in March of 1988 in Cross Plains, Indiana. Now, as a result of that facial, the woman trusting me, thinking what I did had value, introducing me to her daughters, then having a skincare class for the ladies in her church, then she joined and became an independent beauty consultant on my team. From there, I built 12 sales directors and over 1,000 consultants and thousands upon thousands of customers. Last year alone, from that one facial I held in 1988, my residual income was over $68,000. Now, that's just the money I earned in 2007. That's not all the years between 1988 and then. Another thing that sometimes people will say is, you know, I'm just not the sales type. And I would say, thank goodness. Let's think a new thought about sales. You see, everybody is in sales. How successful your marriage, how successful your relationship is with your children, how successful you are in your career is very much tied to how well you can sell yourself. So I'm a very big proponent that everyone needs to learn how to present themselves and sell their ideas and thoughts to others while respecting another's thoughts and feelings. I would just call it people skills. Mary Kay Ash created this company to teach women how to use skincare and cosmetics. The word beauty consultant to me means teacher. You know the most common question that I get when I'm traveling and a stranger finds out that I am a Mary Kay beauty consultant? They often say, is it a rule that you have to be nice to be a Mary Kay because everybody I've ever met in Mary Kay is so daggone nice? My response is, it's been my experience that women don't buy cleansing cream twice from somebody who isn't. So if you're coming from a very strict corporate background, I probably need to warn you that not everything you've been taught in that corporate environment is going to help you in this business. It's served me well over the years to be genuine, kind, honest, throw my heart over the line, transparent, be willing to have my heart broken kind of girl, and mainly to trust people. As a home economics instructor, one of my most popular classes was interpersonal relationships. I also taught family living, time, and money management. I have found that I teach these same life skills as an independent national sales director. I also believe that all the skills that you're going to need to be financially successful in owning your own business are exactly the same skills you may need to be successful in any other endeavor in your life. You know, to be quite honest, I would much rather learn those skills inside the safe environment of Mary Kay. Now, I occasionally will hear someone comment that they really think this is a great idea and they'd love to do it when, and then they fill in the blank. When my kids get out of school, when my kids get in school, when I have this baby, when my kids leave home, when I get rid of this second job, when I get my house clean, when I get my life in order, when I get my marriage in order. And I would just stop and say, whoa, that thought process does not serve you well. All the lights on a highway are never green at the same time. We stop, we go, we make detours, but first we start. I know of no one personally that has ever given this business their all. I've never given this business 100%. I don't even really know what that means, giving it your all. I just believe in being present to the moment. So if you make a decision, okay, I want to start this, and out of 168 hours, I'm willing to give this 5. And then you give it 5, and you give it your best in those 5 hours, and then you're done. Sometimes, obviously, people are concerned about their knowledge of skincare and color cosmetics. Well, that's why it's a skills-based business. Again, if I went to work with you today, I would not know how to do what you do, but I would be a good student, and you would be able to teach me, and I would be able to learn. Sometimes people are concerned that they're too shy, and I would simply say, do you really want to be shy the rest of your life? I certainly don't think that's something you want to give your children. It doesn't serve you well, and it certainly doesn't serve them well either. And everybody knows that when mama's happy, everybody in the house is happy, and when mama has good self-esteem, everybody in the house has good self-esteem. I would strongly encourage you to focus on you, develop you, and in the process, your children can get and gain what you have and who you are. Which brings me to the whole issue of children. Is owning your own business something that's beneficial to children? I'll be honest, I couldn't think of anything more valuable that I could give my children than having them watch me work and problem solve. You see, when we work in a traditional job outside our home, our children aren't learning the skills we own in that job because they're not witnessing the problem solving or people skills that that job demands. When we bring that job home, everything changes. And what is caught by them being a firsthand witness is much more valuable than what is taught. It's also important to realize you can't give away what you don't own. I talk to women all the time that say, I want my kids to grow up and have great confidence and great self-esteem and to be a go-getter. But if we don't own the skill, we can't give it to our child. You see, I'm more interested in developing you. And then you develop your children. I believe that this business builds confidence and esteem, and it builds it in a safe environment. You see, when you have more confidence and more esteem, it has been my experience, you can make more money. That's the equation. More confidence plus more esteem equals more cash. There's nothing out there where you can go make more money without first having those two key ingredients. Some people say, well, Linda, you know, money just doesn't buy happiness. No, money doesn't buy happiness, but money buys choice. And choices can reduce stress and create much more fulfilling lives. I think the decision to become a consultant really boils down to a couple of things: fear of failure and fear of change. So let's shift our thinking here. I believe we're supposed to go at this thing called life making mistakes and learning from our failures. Failures are what make us strong. So what if you begin and decide not to continue? I don't think that makes you a failure. I'm a former waitress. Does that make waiting tables a bad thing? Does it make me look like a failure because I'm not a waitress anymore? It was just a season, a part of my puzzle. I'm a former home economics instructor. Does that make teaching school a bad profession? Does it make me a failure because I'm not a teacher anymore? Or was it just a season, a part of the puzzle? This may just be a season for you, a puzzle piece that helps you gain confidence and esteem and to get that extra cash to follow a dream of your own. The decision to become an independent beauty consultant then just becomes a piece of the puzzle of your overall life plan. I know that people say they want to change, but the truth of the matter is we're all afraid of change. Fear really does stand for false evidence appearing real. So when I look at changing, I often ask myself, what's the opposite of change? You see, the opposite of change is staying the same. And what does that look like for you? I don't believe anyone wants to remain the same. We were not designed to be that stagnant. I encourage you to embrace change. Mary Kay once said, do the thing you're most afraid of, and the fear will disappear. I have a lot of incredible memories associated with that decision that I made in April of 1982. Those memories are the gifts that were inside my starter kit. You know, that little $85 box? I actually still have that $85 cardboard box. I actually use it in some of my presentations, so if you see me speaking in your town or city somewhere in the future, you'll probably see it. I had no way of knowing that over $4 million would be in that little box, but more importantly, it contained a different life for me, my family, and my children, and that it would create a different person inside of me. I had no way of knowing, and neither do you until you give it a try. One of the benefits and perks of being a top sales director are some of the fabulous trips to incredible places around the world. One such place was Vienna. We were preparing for our last night. It was a big evening gala. And sometimes they do these very Cinderella-ish things. We dress in beautiful ball gowns. And, of course, we're always staying in five-star hotels. And oftentimes tourists mistake us for celebrities, and we just kind of let them do that. Well, that particular evening, we were having dinner in a beautiful palace with lots of gold and silver, and our dinner that night was even choreographed to music. We all knew that there would be a big surprise at the end of the evening. We just didn't know what the surprise would be until our dessert was being served, and the MC stepped to the microphone and said, "Would you please stand and welcome for a private performance, the Vienna Boys Choir?" I couldn't even breathe. I couldn't even imagine a little girl from southeastern Kentucky who in her wildest dreams would have ever imagined being in a place like this, to have a private performance by the Vienna Boys Choir. It was a fairy tale. That night, I ran back to my hotel room as fast as I could and on international time called and left a message on Lucinda Utley's answering machine, thanking her for believing in me enough that even when I said no, she continued to work with me until I had enough information and had enough courage to say yes. Upon returning home from that trip a couple of weeks later, I happened to be in a local hotel and I ran into a friend that I hadn't seen for about 8 years. She was a fellow teacher, and as I stood there in the lobby that day and spoke with her, she's a great person, I realized that I had just had an odd feeling, and the feeling wasn't a good feeling as we parted ways. Her life for the past 8 years had remained exactly the same. In fact, that conversation that day could have picked up from 8 years ago. Still talking about the same stuff going on in her life, the same people, same circumstances. Nothing in her life in 8 years had changed. And in the same 8 years, mine had become a fairy tale. Please, if you're afraid of change, be more afraid of waking up 8 years from now talking about the same stuff you talked about today. Why, may you ask, am I so passionate that you give this business a try? Well, first of all, I believe that we are where we are in our lives by the choices we've made or we've allowed other people to make for us. And I believe that every person deserves a lot of choices. But they have to think different first. I know from my own experience that the choices I've made today are a result of an $85 starter kit that I purchased in April of 82. The person I've become today is a result of that purchase. The choices my husband has in his career is a direct result of that purchase. My parents' medical bills, my children, the kind of people they are a result of the decision that I made. You see, I brought them both home in pink Mary Kay cars, and the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they have spent for private schools, mission trips, medical schools, traveling, the lifestyle, having a life that's all of our own, not having to ask anybody else's permission. You see, if I was running for president of the United States, I would make it a law that everybody had to be a Mary Kay independent beauty consultant for at least a year. Why? Because of the life skills, a safe place to grow, confidence, and esteem. It's been my observation that the same skills you use here, you may also need in other careers. And again, I want to just say it one more time. I would sure rather learn them in the safe environment of Mary Kay. More importantly, this career teaches you how to dream. Really big dreams. You see, most people have forgotten their little girl dreams. In closing out this CD, I'd like to share with you a couple of my favorite stories. And today, I hope they touch your heart and stir your soul and cause you to think a new thought. One of the things I've benefited the most from my career is my knowledge of the crease in the piece of paper. So I want you to take out a piece of paper and fold it, just like I'm doing right now. Just fold it in half. You see, our brains work a lot like this crease. You see, when you were born, God did not give you any thoughts. You had instincts, and people and experiences created your thoughts. So when you were little, someone gave you this thought, and it formed a path, just like this crease in the piece of paper in your brain. And so many times you've heard a thought, the more times you've heard it, so the more times people said the same thought to you, that crease got stronger and stronger. Now, eventually it became a path in your brain and the thoughts followed it. And later it was a road and then it became a full-fledged interstate. Eventually, this crease of paper, when folded enough times, I can drop it to the floor and it will crease automatically back on itself. Well, that's kind of how our minds work. Those thoughts that are in those creases can be good thoughts or bad thoughts. But we're really a product of what we've been told. Now, let me just prove this concept to you. First of all, most of you, I think, listening to this probably can drive a car. So how many of you have driven a car for maybe an hour? I would say most of you. And most of you have driven a car for an hour. How many of you have done so and not remembered the trip? Well, most of us, we kind of get in our car and somehow miraculously we arrive at its location and we don't even really remember getting there, and we maneuver our car through rush hour traffic. So how on earth does this happen? Well, it's a thought pattern. Now, if a thought is so powerful that it can take you through rush hour traffic without conscious thought, then what kind of thought patterns are buried deep inside of you that are controlling your full potential, the reason you're here, the reason you were born, your whole purpose? Maybe you were raised in an environment where people said wonderful things to you and it created these great creases. And those wonderful things might be like, I love you. You're going to do great things with your life. I believe you can do anything if you're willing to work hard enough and pay the price. Man, you are special. God has sure blessed you. You're going to do amazing things with your life. Man, I'm lucky to have you in my life. I love you so much. You are terrific. Try out for that team. Don't worry about what other people think. If you fail, no big deal. Just get back up and try it again. Wow, if I ever get a hold of a girl that's her predominant thought pattern, she grabs a hold of a Mary Kay opportunity, well, chances are she'll soar. Well, the truth of the matter is we're a product of both good and bad, because the opposite can be said as well. And that thought pattern may not be nearly as positive. You may have been told things in your life like you're stupid or you're slow or you're dumb, or people like us just don't have stuff like that. I don't know who you think you are. Just don't get above your raisin. Why can't you just be happy with what you got? Why, you're never going to amount to nothing. You're never going to be good enough. You never can do it perfect enough. Well, the truth of the matter is that those are not God-given thoughts. Those are thoughts that somebody imposed upon you. In my Bible, it says, He created me in His image and for abundance. And you know what He created for you in abundance too, and that you were destined to do something wonderful with your life. But I also know that sometimes we have to change those creases in the piece of paper to make that happen. Now, what happens to us many times is that the people who gave us those creases are people we love, and they actually love us. And so then we end up getting very confused. We think, well, if I reject those thoughts, even though I know they're wrong, somehow I'm rejecting the person who spoke them to them. And I know that person loves me, and I love that person. Well, I believe it's very possible, because my friend Pat Pearson taught me so, that you can love a messenger and throw away the message. Just in a very fun, light, and innocent way, I have to tell you an example of what I'm talking about. I love my daddy. I would die for my daddy. He is the coolest guy. He gave me my work ethic. He's probably one of the best people that I know in the whole wide world. But my daddy has some ideas about things that are different from mine. First of all, my daddy hates to travel. If you ask him, he probably doesn't even quite understand why we have the interstate system, because nobody really needs to go anywhere. And if God had wanted you to fly, He would have given you wings. So he doesn't really get the whole flying thing. And so he's perfectly happy living in Laurel County, Kentucky. He loves his home. He loves his people around him, and traveling is just not in his vocabulary. So he doesn't get very excited when I earn one of these trips around the world. And I've earned like 20 plus amazing trips. And so when I'm calling mom to tell her I'm getting ready to go somewhere fabulous like Russia or Spain or Paris, I can hear my daddy in the background. Don't tell me she's going on another one of those trips. Them people over there, they don't even like us. They're going to kill her. And that plane is going to crash, and them kids are not going to have a mommy. I don't understand why she just can't come down here and sit on the porch with us. No, she's got to go traipsing all over the world. Well, I usually just smile, tell Daddy I love him, and I'll send him a postcard and see him when I get home. It's very possible to love the messenger and throw away the message. It doesn't mean you don't respect them, and it doesn't mean that you don't love them more than life itself. I believe that $100 starter kit can be a piece of your puzzle, that the experience can help you develop a skill and to put you in contact with the people that can encourage you to help you live a dream that is deep, deep inside you. I think it's very important that you realize that God gave you a dream and you were born with a purpose. And part of the puzzle of life is to figure it out. Somewhere probably in your life, you've had some clues as to what that would be. And it might surprise you right now to find out that I don't know that I can actually say that I think that Mary Kay is your dream. I think it's an amazing opportunity, and it gives you a safe place to build that confidence and esteem, to be around positive energy-giving people, and to develop skills that the world doesn't necessarily give you, valuable life skills that you're going to need in order to pursue the dream, whatever it may be. Guys, God didn't give your dream to your sister-in-law, or to your mommy or your daddy, or to your friends. Quit looking around the world and asking everybody's opinion of what you should do. Follow your instincts. Be willing to stand in strong shoes. Be willing to take a stand. Be willing to be the first person in your family that breaks a barrier. Be willing to be that person that stands out from the crowd, that has an entrepreneurial lifestyle, so that your life doesn't look like everybody else's. Be willing to accept the consequences of such a decision. Be willing to be that person that makes a big difference and follows their dream. In the movie, The Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner plays the main character, and he says something very profound to his wife one night as he's trying to make the decision about plowing up the cornfield and building a baseball diamond, and he says these words, "My greatest fear in life is that I will one day become like my father. He played by all the rules, and he did what everyone else thought he should, and he died, and he never lived his little boy dream." And of course, as you know, the movie is how he achieves that little boy dream for his dad by building the baseball diamond. I can only pray that this recording today has helped you to think some new thoughts and to create a new piece for your puzzle. Give the person that handed you this recording a call and tell them you're ready to order that starter kit. In the future, if you happen to see me at a big event, come up and let me know that you've heard this and then give me a big hug, because that'll tell me that it tugged at your heartstrings and helped you think a new thought. If you would like more detailed information about a Mary Kay career, please talk to your Mary Kay Independent Beauty Consultant, Sales Director, or simply go to www.marykay.com. I'd like to share some tips with you that have helped me during the career. First of all, I would encourage you to be a good student. It doesn't matter what your background, whether you've been in sales or not, this is going to take rehearsal, practice, scripting, and patience. Next, wear your beauty coat. Your beauty coat automatically gives you credibility. You know, I go into doctor's offices all the time and they've got on lab coats, and the people who work there have on coats, and I think that they know what they're doing. I don't really know that they know what they're doing, but they look like they know what they're doing, so that beauty coat will give you the same credibility. Third, remember, this isn't brain surgery. If people don't like it, they can just wash it off. Four, don't compare yourself to others. Do you know that women are the only species on earth that play the comparison game? Men don't do that. Men don't walk into a room, size up the entire crowd, and think to themselves, "He's taller, he's skinnier, he's got more hair than me." We're the only creatures alive that play that game, and it certainly isn't healthy. Next, remember to only take advice from people with whom you would trade places. That was some of the best advice I was ever given in this business, because everybody's going to want to start giving you advice. So I recommend that you listen to the people who have succeeded in running successful Mary Kay businesses. Generally speaking, that would be your independent sales director or your national. Next, you will become like the five people with whom you spend the most time. If you're hanging around positive people, you're probably a very positive, energy-giving person. If you're hanging around negative people, then you're probably negative yourself. And ooh, I know we don't like to hear that. But guys, it is inevitable.